Well, good morning, everybody. Thanks for coming today. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to share some of what I've learned. By a show of hands, how many people have a Facebook account? Okay, let's try that the other way. By a show of hands, how many people do not have a Facebook account? Okay, so by far the predominance here is that people have a Facebook account. And by a show of hands, how many people have tried to use Facebook in some public healthy kind of way? Okay, good. So a good majority of people. And I think excellent presentation from Leslie. She mentioned that this is very much in the formative stages right now. We're kind of at the throw it at the wall and see if it sticks sort of stage, trying to take some of the theories and best practices from other media outreaches and apply it to social media. And that's very much what we tried to do with this intervention. The goal of the project here was to try and apply Facebook to recruiting young men for a challenging study. The study we were recruiting for, oh, and by the way, we were partially funded by Merck for a investigator-initiated grant on the Gardasil quadrivalent human papillomavirus vaccine. The opinions expressed here are not those of Merck, but of the researchers. So we were trying to test a RCT of the HPV administration guidelines. If any of you know 18 to 25-year-old men, they are not, on the whole, the most responsible, follow-through, stick-to-it kind of people. And one of the challenges with the HPV vaccination schedule is that it requires a visit over 3 months, and the third visit is 6 months after the first visit. So if you imagine that many of the people who are going to be getting the HPV vaccine are college students, that third visit could fall in the summer, and then they would very likely not come back for it, not have the complete protection. So the study here was to test the efficacy of a 12-month booster so that they could come back the following fall for their second semester, get the booster shot, and see if it worked. The identical study in females found that it was more efficacious to do a 12-month booster than a 6-month. So we were trying the same thing with men. And as we were considering recruitment strategies, the challenges of getting young men engaged to get an HPV vaccine, to overcome the stigma of getting an HPV vaccine, to deal with the follow-through, the follow-up, all of these things just seemed like huge barriers. And EMA, as Leslie mentioned as well, seems like a great way to bridge the behavior-intention gap in my favorite theory, the theory of planned behavior. You've got instantaneous text messaging. You've got this phone in your pocket that can remind you of everything. Scheduling's built into it. And Facebook seemed like a great way for us to try and motivate these guys beyond what would normally be possible through phone calls or the traditional follow-up strategies. So we had two research questions at the beginning of the project. One was, can we use Facebook to recruit men? And is it going to be as effective as conventional recruiting strategies? And can we use Facebook to keep them involved in the program? Research in what keeps people involved in research studies over time show that a connection with the organization, feeling like you're known as a person, knowing the researchers personally, all contributed to somebody following through with a research protocol. Well, that seems like a great job for Facebook, right? You can create a group and get people involved and draw them into a conversation and they get to know you. So those were the two aims of the study. So dealing with the recruitment side of this, these were our first ads. And let me encourage you not to read the text on my slides because there's a lot of it and it's not meant necessarily to be read. You'll see two ads here. Both are themed in red, which stands out from the blue background of Facebook. And since you all have a Facebook account, you know that the ads appear in the right-hand column next to the news feed. So I wanted to choose a color and a graphic that was going to stand out from your typical Facebook post. There weren't a whole lot of pictures on Facebook a year ago, although now that's becoming increasingly more popular, so they did actually stand out a lot. And the pictures of the guys who embody the characteristics generally of the folks we're trying to attract were used. The pointing fellow was especially successful as far as guys go. It seems that pointing to the text on the ad And perhaps the fact that he's Caucasian, maybe a little bit Latino, appealed to the racial profile that we had primarily enrolling in our study. You'll notice over on the right-hand side of each of the ads that the top one targets 55,000 users, the bottom one targets 7,500 users, and that's generated based on the keywords that you select to create your ad. So the top one is much less specific, the bottom one is much more specific. These ads did okay, but they did not do well. Anybody want to guess why? Throw it out there. Who are we marketing to? Guys, what do we have pictures of? Guys. Okay, so these did really well. All right, so we changed our ad characteristics a little bit further on and chose pink shirt girl and white shirt girl. These are just from iStock. You can buy the rights to photos, throw them into an ad. If you have any kind of technical prowess using Photoshop or an image editor, it's easy to create the graphic. Doesn't have to be real rich because you're only talking about something that is, you know, comparatively that big on the screen. But something compelling. The men needed seemed to work a lot. We changed up the text a little bit next to it. And you can see over on the right-hand column that falls off the bottom of the page, that is the complete list, and it would actually go down closer to the floor of the targeting parameters that I used for that ad. So one of the benefits of using Facebook for recruiting is that you can very, very, very specifically target who it is you're trying to reach. So over and above men outside of the 18 to 25 range, over and above the male-female, over and above the interrelationship, not interrelationship status, you can choose what people like. So every time you click, I like this, it adds that to your social graph, and then people like me can use that to market specifically to you. And Facebook's got some nifty tools to help you to create that keyword list. I didn't just brainstorm it. We brainstormed the characteristics of the guys that we thought would be good fits for the study, and then as you type in the keywords, it says people who like this generally like this as well, and you just keep adding keywords and pilot testing ads until you get the response rate from the group that you're looking for. So we predominantly were finding success with the geeky guy, pink shirt girl ad. These are guys who are engineering students, who are pre-med, who are into religious ties, computer science, all those kind of things. And the importance of targeting will come up here momentarily. So here's some metrics on what our ads actually did, and this is the course of the campaign, which ran from November through May. We had 21 million impressions, almost 22 million impressions, and an impression is every time the ad is displayed. So somebody could have potentially seen the ad 22 million times. Of those 22 million impressions, we had almost 4,000 clicks. So people actually clicked on the ad, which is a click-through rate, CTR in the world of social marketing, of 0.018, which is pathetic. A good click-through rate is something like 8%, okay? But you have to figure, we're trying to get guys to get vaccinated against HPV. And even though we've got a pretty girl, like, still they're going to read the words, we would assume, and very few of those people are actually going to click through to the ad. We spent a total of almost $5,000, which is 22 cents cost per impression, and it's $1.24 cost per click. Now, $1.24 is actually a pretty good cost per click rate based on some of the other platforms out there. And if we learn nothing else from this, 22 million times a message about HPV went up on somebody's screen, which I think is a pretty big success. All right, so here's some of the key learnings that we got out of this. Number one, getting guys engaged in Facebook as a tool of retaining them in the study was hopeless. We had a page called PitVax, the Pittsburgh Vaccination Research Group, which is a whole lot more pithy than the University of Pittsburgh Department of Family Medicine. And we had some posts on there. We tried to recruit people to like the page. But as you know, on Facebook, unless they like the page, they don't actually get the messages. And we had a total of like zero likes. We ended up with about 20 after I blasted the public tell school and all of my friends, and please like our page. And so apparently guys are not interested in connecting around a conversation having to do with HPV, which is important to know in health promotion, because what I'm finding as I continue this research and other interests is that it's really hard to get people engaged in a conversation around health. So the research that Leslie did in finding out what is naturally percolating up in the conversation topics is a good starting point to find out the kind of behaviors that are going to be amenable to using social media for. HPV is not one of them, at least not with young guys. Well, so one of the interesting things that we found was if you look at this graph here, you can see the blue are people who did not enroll, the green are people who did enroll, and the total column are the people that screened positive according to our screening questionnaire were eligible to enroll in the study. So of our recruiting methods, the flyer was the number one method. Guys saw a flyer. It had a picture of the girl with basically the same text as the Facebook ad, rip off a number, call the number. Excuse me, go to the website, go through the screening questionnaire. And Facebook came in second. But guys were significantly less likely to click through the Facebook ad and actually enroll in the study. And that makes sense to me, because if you're on Facebook and you're playing around on the internet and you see a picture and you say, oh, wow, that's interesting to me, and you click on it and you get to the screening questionnaire and you say, okay, well, I'll fill this out and see if I'm eligible. And it says, congratulations, you're enrolled. We'd like you to come back for the next year and get three shots and we're going to pay you just a tiny bit of money. Then maybe you're not going to be so interested. A better measure would have been to count impressions, so the number of times somebody saw a flyer and thought really hard about it, or ripped off the tab and meant to call the phone number but didn't. So we're kind of comparing apples and oranges here, because it is so easy to click on an ad in Facebook where if you're using one of these other methods, it actually takes some work on your part to get through to the screening survey. But a lesson learned that a click on Facebook is not exactly worth the same thing as a phone call or a return email or a text message. If you look at over here in the right-hand column, we had a total of 221 guys who came through the conventional recruiting method, and of them, 45 did not enroll, 176 did. We had 104 guys that came through the Facebook ad, 60 and 40. So it was the split here is much different. You had a lot more enroll through conventional than you did through the Facebook ad, and that was significant. So the next question we had is, well, what do these guys look like? Are we getting the same people through Facebook that we get through conventional recruiting? That's one of the objections I hear in the scientific community as well. Facebook targets rich white guys or only gets one section of my population. Well, it looks like here from our age ranges, which were 18 to 25, that they were all pretty close. The ads here tended to skew a little bit towards the younger group, where conventional recruiting tended to skew a little bit towards the older group. And some of the other questions we had in our questionnaires seemed to indicate that older students, which were predominantly grad students, didn't have the time to play around on Facebook as much as younger guys did. So if you're thinking of using Facebook recruiting, it's not impossible for you to use for older guys, but know that that should not be your only strategy. And then some graphs here to show you about some of the questions we asked about social media use. How did you hear about our study? And you can see of the guys, no matter how they came through to our study, all agreed that they use social media. So I stay connected to people in my life through Facebook, Twitter, or another social media service was this high, regardless of how they came to the study. Similarly, here you have social media usage, the frequency of posts. Almost everybody is more than once a week or more, regardless of how they came to the study. Reading posts, people read a lot more than they post, but not that much more. And regardless of how they came to the study, they read a lot of social media posts. And they stay connected with the people in their lives, regardless of recruiting source. So, conclusions. Facebook ads were an effective strategy to recruit young men in this college population into the HPV study. The ads were equally effective for all of our age groups, And most of the participants who were enrolled in this do use social media in some way or another. Some things that we learned while we were doing this, narrowly targeting the ads is very, very important. Because clicks cost per click, you want to make sure that you're only capturing people that can potentially be enrolled. And knowing that of the people that click, a small proportion of them are actually going to enroll, you want to try and screen out as many people as you possibly can on the front end before they're even presented the ad. Also, compiling a bank of IRB-approved ads that are pre-tested is critical. We found ourselves, after we embarked on this, having 4 IRB-approved ads. And if anybody's used the IRB process before, you know it takes a long time to get anything through. So if you're going to consider this recruitment strategy, 100, 150 pre-tested, ready-to-go ads so that you can change them out on the fly as trends start to change. So here's an example of our Facebook page. Yes, please go like us. It is still active. We are PitPax. And some posts that we have here. And there you go. Thanks.